The electric guitar has produced some of the world's most well-known musical riffs. But its history goes back well before the rock and roll of the late 50s, 60s, and 70s, and includes jazz legends like Charlie Christian, and of course, the great Bo Diddley. A new exhibit at the Musical Instrument Museum explores the history of the electric guitar and the technology that allowed musicians to plug in. It's called The Electric Guitar, Inventing an American Icon, and includes guitars and amps from some of the most well-known guitar heroes, including Pete Townsend and Keith Richards. I recently met Rich Walter inside the exhibit. He's the curator for USA, Canada, and Europe at MIM, and we started our tour at the beginning, which is much farther back in history than many people might think.
Absolutely. And so a lot of people might think of the rockabilly and rock and roll of the mid-50s, certainly Beatlemania, you know, these flashpoints of popular culture with the Beatles hitting the Ed Sullivan Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Close your eyes and I'll be soon. Tomorrow I'll be soon.
But really, the electric guitar is 20 to 30 years prior to those developments and has its roots in the early 1930s for real. But we also have evidence here in the gallery that people were toying with this idea even long before that.
Can we go see some of the early ones here?
Yeah. Here, actually, in this first corner, we start really with some of the earliest audio technology, including these early Magnavox amplified horn kind of loudspeakers, where it really is still in many ways a mechanical acoustic device projecting sound more loudly with an electric signal. But then we start combining more powerful amplifiers, more sensitive speaker technology, combining them into one portable package that was really ready-made for the electric guitar, in some senses before there was such a thing as the electric guitar. And in this section, when we're helping to define what a pickup is, you know, that's a pickup is the device that actually translates the string energy off the instrument into an electric signal. And we're trying to show people some of the early versions of what that pickup looked like, ranging from these really kind of interesting, almost industrial looking things suspended, bolted into the body of a guitar, to things that started getting a little bit more sleek and compact and packaged with these big magnets and coils of wire. But you can configure that solution in a lot of ways, and we start showing people the earliest versions of what people did.
In terms of some of these really early amplification methods and even some of the early electric guitars, technologically and scientifically, how big of a jump was this from what was before?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, because the earliest amplified instruments were not much of a jump from what was available to amplify, say, a microphone. But it was about 1932 or so when a man named George Beauchamp really developed what we consider the first modern electric pickup, and that's this horseshoe pickup. Again, that technology existed, but no one had packaged it in quite the same way to fit onto a stringed instrument. So that was the breakthrough. And then from that time in the early 30s, that solution basically is the same that we know today. I mean, a pickup today on a guitar really doesn't operate any differently than that 1932 pickup.
That's pretty amazing that something from the early 30s is still basically what rock stars are using now.
Unquestionably, and in fact, some of those designs even today have such a unique sound that people are still trying to capture something, the sound quality of the really early 1930s and 40s pickups, and making them brand new, kind of recreating that sound, because they might be decades old, but they're certainly not obsolete.
What was the reaction of other musicians and of music fans and writers and all that when these guitars started being amplified?
It was not an immediate success. I think the concept of playing louder was always important to people, but the way they looked, some of the earliest stars of the electric guitar had these cast metal, cast aluminum, lap-style Hawaiian guitars that looked so different from their larger acoustic counterparts that the audiences didn't really know what to make of them. The sound was interesting, but it seemed so alien that we've got one of Alvino Ray's original guitars. He's a great early star of the electric guitar. He actually fabricated a more normal-looking guitar body to almost disguise his early electric guitar to make it look more familiar to audiences.
When people started playing electric guitars, did it change the way that people thought about music? I mean, presumably if you're amplified, you can do things that you can't do acoustically.
Well, what it really did was it gave the guitarists themselves a better way to be heard in the context of a big band. And so one of the downsides of being an acoustic guitarist, if you played in a big jazz band, if you played in a big country bar, the guitar, an acoustic guitar, could get swallowed up by all the other sound. And so amplification really let some of these talented guitarists stand shoulder to shoulder with other soloists. They could be heard in a loud country bar. They could project onto recordings. And so really what it did was it started changing the role of how a guitarist could be a featured soloist in these other settings. And it opened the door for the kind of the modern guitar hero we know today. Whereas before, an acoustic guitar it wasn't loud enough to be a featured voice in some of these big bands.
That's really interesting because I think for a lot of bands of the recent past and now, the front person is the guitar player. You're saying it wasn't that way before amplification.
Correct. I mean, there might have been a rhythm guitarist, say in a big jazz band, but in terms of playing a solo that could cut through and the audience could hear, until amplification in a large setting, the guitarist couldn't really compete.
Is there still innovation happening today in terms of electric guitars? I mean, are things changing, people trying different things?
I think we always believe there's innovation and always people exploring new territory. In the case of the electric guitar, there's room to do that. You can make the body look different. You can configure it a little bit different. But when it really comes down to it, the basic equation is almost startlingly the same as it was in the 30s. You have a body that needs to support the strings and a neck and a pickup. So certainly there's innovation, but it's really incredible to see how many of those variations and innovations had already been imagined and tested and put to market in the 1930s. So all of these historic instruments have a profound sound and voice, and an artist today might be able to find real inspiration in the sound and feel of something that's 90 years old, and that's rare. You can't jump in a 90-year-old car and use it in a modern highway context. You can't expect to have a 90-year-old lots of things, a 90-year-old phone, and expect it to work today the way you need a phone to work. But you can take a 80, 90-year-old electric guitar and play music today because it still works and it's still a remarkably sophisticated thing.
All right, Rich, thanks for walking me through this. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Rich Walter is the curator for USA, Canada, and Europe at the Musical Instrument Museum. The exhibit, The Electric Guitar, Inventing an American Icon, runs through September of 2019.